With that, guys, let's get into our message today. I am super excited about this. This is our last Sunday in our Philippians sermon series. And I don't think we could end on a higher note than what we're ending on today. And the songs feed into it, and our Sunday school lesson feeds into it. And would you just know that life this week feeds into it? And it'll all become clear here in a moment. But let me start this morning by asking you this question. Have you ever wondered why having more never seems to be enough? Have you ever wondered why having more never seems to be enough? So whether it's money, we could be Scrooge McDuck. And kids, if you don't know it, go watch DuckTales at Scrooge McDuck. He swims through all of his gold. It's a 80s and 90s kids thing. So, but no amount of money matters. It's never enough. What about success? What about our relationships? Or even peace of mind? See, no matter how much we chase after these things, it feels like something is still missing in our life. And that's because today we're going to talk about contentment. What is contentment? And it's because true contentment doesn't come from what we have. True contentment comes from who we find our trust in whom we place our trust in. So this morning we're going to hear from Paul again, because he wrote the book of Philippians, and we're going to learn what he learned and what he talks about when it comes to contentment. And so if you have your Bible this morning, and listen, if you have your Bible this morning, as long as you came in while I was standing back there, if you had your Bible, you got a piece of candy this morning. Now, I think there's something alarming that we need to talk about here. 80% of the people chose Milk Duds. What is wrong with you? There's Hershey's, there's Reese's, there's Kit Kats, and we chose Milk Duds. And so I learned something today. And I don't know quite what it is that I learned today, but the vast majority of people took Milk Duds. And I just find that alarming for some reason. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you please open it to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. That's through the end of chapter 24, or through the end of chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Your neighbor surely has one, because I gave out lots of candy this morning. And if not, it'll also be on the screen that you can follow along on the screen. And as we wrap up this series this week, my prayer has been through this whole thing that God would speak to each of us, that He would work on things that we need to get right with Him, that He would challenge you. Has anybody been challenged throughout this series so far? I know that I have. And my ultimate hope is God has revealed truth to you that forever changes and impacts your life. And I hope that that is where we all are this morning. And so as you find your way to your scripture this morning, I'd like to share this story with you. There was a pilot. We all know a pilot flies an airplane or a helicopter. There was a pilot who always looked down intently at a certain valley in the Appalachians when the plane passed overhead. Every time he flew his plane over this route, he would look down at the certain valley. And one day his co-pilot asked him, he said, "What is so interesting about this spot that you always look down at this spot?" And here's what the pilot said. "See that stream down there? Well, when I was a kid, I used to sit down there on a log and I would fish. And every time an airplane would fly over, I would look up and wish that I was in the airplane flying. Now I look down and wish that I were fishing." So what does this story illustrate? The story illustrates our human tendency to be dissatisfied with our current circumstances. It reveals to us that we long for something else. See, the pilot who once wished to be flying when he was on the ground fishing now wishes to be on the ground fishing when he is flying. And it shows us the struggle that we face of always seeking fulfillment and contentment in what we don't have. Because I'm flying the plane, this is what I dreamed for forever, but now I'd really rather be down there fishing. And so, rather than appreciating the blessings of the present moment, do you know this morning, church, that you can find contentment in your current moment, in your current situation? I don't care how bad and ugly it is, would you know that you can find contentment in it? Did you know that that's biblical? It is. And so, when we look at biblical contentment and what it is, it teaches us to find satisfaction and peace in whatever situation we are in. So trusting that God's provision is sufficient for us. And so instead of being the pilot who is dissatisfied, let's be like Paul, who was content in all things. And let's read our scripture here this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be what? Content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and a hunger, abundance and need. Here's the most famous verse that I think everybody in here knows. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You might know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, depending on what version you were raised up memorizing. Verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And the Philippians, you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's a lot, but we're going to focus on the idea and the concept of contentment. And here's what this passage emphasizes this morning. It emphasizes that true contentment doesn't come from our changing circumstances, but it comes solely from our reliance on God. Who knows that circumstances change every day? Every moment of every day. But our reliance on God, that should just maintain, shouldn't it? So the story of the pilot that we talked before the scripture, it reminds us that chasing after what we don't have robs us of our joy and our contentment in the present. If we focus on the things that we don't have, we can't have contentment in the present. So when Paul says, I have learned to be content, before we go here, get a piece of paper if you have one and a pen. You can write this down if you'd like, because we're going to reveal, if you will, today, the key to contentment, okay? Here's what the key to contentment is. It is realizing what God has given you, okay, what He has given you in your present circumstances, in your situation, in your life, so everything. So realizing what God has given you in everything, He has given you everything you need to endure, to grow closer to Him, and to remain victorious in your relationship with Jesus Christ. As you sit here today, He's given that to you already. You are equipped. So why are we not content? He's given us all things. No matter what we face in life, we have the ability to endure, to grow closer to Christ, and remain victorious in our relationship with Him. So you might think, from reading Paul here in Philippians, that maybe he had an easy life. Because, you know, Paul, he's in jail right now, and the church is sending him gifts, and it sounds like a pretty easy life, doesn't it? Besides the fact that he's jailed. But you might think that Paul had an easy life. Paul doesn't know my situation. You don't know my situation, Pastor. My life's pretty hard. Well, know this. We all have hard lives, okay? And so you may think that maybe it wasn't hard for Paul to find contentment because, well, he lived back then and not today, and so it's easier for him to talk about contentment. Well, let's just take a moment, if you will, entertain with me. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at some things that Paul faced. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, I'll give you just a second to find your place. And I'll also have it on the overhead. So what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to qualify that Paul had a reason to talk about contentment. Now, I would argue that we all have a reason to talk about contentment, but let's look at what Paul endured as a Christian. Verse 24, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one, so 39 lashes. So 5 times he was whipped, 39 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and does everybody know what stoning is? They pick up a sizable rock and they chuck it at your head. Sometimes they bury you up to your neck so you can't run and get away, and they just beam you in the head. Okay, it's very gruesome. Does it sound terrible? Because it is terrible. All right, understand what Paul's saying here. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. So one of the times he was shipwrecked, he was hanging like in the movie, think Titanic with Rose and Jack, right? That's Paul. He's floating in the ocean, all right, for a whole day. He's floating there. He was adrift at sea. Verse 26, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I think that we can agree that Paul had some hardships in life. He faced some pretty tough circumstances. Now, I share this not to discount what your hardships are, because if we're being honest, we all have a list like Paul. Now, maybe it's not identical to Paul. Has anybody been shipwrecked? Has anybody been, let's not go down. Have you been in danger from your friends, right? Paul was in danger from his own cohorts that were with him, from his friends, from those that he was a Pharisee. He was in danger of his own people. So your list may not be like his, but each of our list has our struggles on it, doesn't it? Each of our list has the things that we face in life, the situations, and the things that demand our attention, the hardships that we face in life. So we all have our own list as well. And here's what I need you to know, that contentment is not something you have. You have a nose, you don't have contentment. You don't just get given contentment. Okay, I hope everybody has a nose in here this morning. It's not something you have. Rather, it is to be learned. Contentment is learned. Have you ever prayed for patience before? And then the Lord gave you the most trying thing ever in your life to learn how to be patient, right? So contentment is learned. And here's how we learn contentment. We gain our learning, we gain our knowledge on contentment through our life experience and through our dependence and our obedience to Christ Jesus, who's going to go out tomorrow morning and live life. We all have an opportunity tomorrow to learn some contentment in our lives, right? Even this afternoon, right now, maybe you don't like what I'm talking about. Guess what? Learn some contentment. It's a great opportunity to do so. And so it's not something we have, but rather we have to learn how to be content. And no matter what life throws at you, contentment comes, listen, when you have the strength to remain steady and victorious in Christ's power working within you. What does that mean? That means that I am not shaken by the things of this world, the things that would come in to distract me, to hurt me, to rob me of my joy, because I am solid in my foundation and understanding of who Christ Jesus is. That's contentment. So no matter what life throws at you, we have the strength to remain steady because we know that we are found in Christ. Now, if we look at this from the world's perspective, right? So the world or those without a Bible in your hand, and listen, if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, I am not, this is not you right now. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Christians who have one of these at home and never open them. Just let that sit and marinate for just a second. Okay? So that's who I'm talking about. So the world and those without a Bible in their hand, they chase after contentment. Why? Because the world tells us, they fed us this false belief that money will solve our issues. They teach us that a job promotion will solve our issues. How many know job promotion generally brings more issues in your life? Joel, you're the newest one with promotion I'm aware of. Does it not bring more issues in your life? Kelly, what about you? Yeah, okay, right? It brings more issues. The world tells us, has fed us this false belief that we can find contentment if we get a better wife. Nobody say amen. A better husband. Don't you dare say amen. A better car. A better this. A better that. If we can just get to the next thing. If we can get to the next destination. If we can get to the next accomplishment. If I can just find my way down to a beach in Florida or go out to a vacation home in South Dakota, it is then that I will be content. What is that doing? That's always pointing towards a future thing, isn't it? But how many knows it snows in South Dakota? How many knows that it rains in Florida? You can literally be driving down the road in Florida if you've not been there. I'll just give you into something. Don't get a convertible. You will be driving. You will see somebody in a convertible. And within 15 minutes, I promise you, they're going to be poured on as you're driving down the interstate together. Who has witnessed that before? Yeah, it's fun. So, anyways. We will finally be happy if I can just get to this next thing, this next destination, this next accomplishment. We'll finally be happy. See, we go after what we think will make us happy, only to find out it didn't work. I achieved it, but I'm still not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not content. In fact, a lot of times we'll find out that we were happier before we started the quest to go after this new thing. See, in today's world, we're stuck on being discontent. Today's advertising, it tells us to be discontent with everything we have. It says that we shouldn't like our microwave, which still works 35 years later. So what we should do is we should trade it in, we should sell it, we should buy a new one for 250 years. What's the lifespan on a microwave today? 5 to 7 years? For those of you who don't know, Teresa's got a microwave that she was given on her wedding that was used, and 35 years later, the thing still works as if it's brand new. But the world says to be discontent with that. To go buy a newer one. Yes, it's brown. It's got the old wood grain vinyl on it. And you all know what I'm talking about, right? Most of you do. Kids, you'll catch up someday, I promise. It'll be back in season real quick here, okay? So the advertising tells us to be discontent. Advertising says that I should be ready to get rid of my iPhone because the new one just came out this week. This is no longer any good, according to advertising. So I should not be content. I need to go find contentment somewhere else. Our discontent is reflected, listen, in our high rate of movement or our mobility, the way we move about, the way we do things. Because today people rarely stay. Now, a lot of us, we've just been here forever and we're going to be here until we die. And I say praise the Lord for that. But just listen to me. When we look at the world, people rarely stay at the same address for more than 5 years. When you look at all the data, 5 years is about the average, if you will, trade-in time. Okay? Compare that to cars. The average trade cycle is 32 months or something like that. Isn't it, PJ? Do you know? Do you know the data? It used to be right at 30, like 36 months. And I know that it's moved up. People want to trade. They want new. They want something different. We're always on the move. We're always looking for a better house. We're always looking for a better job, a better place to live, a better place to raise a family, a better place to retire. And sure, some moves are required. Some moves are required because we need to find the decent jobs, because maybe God's calling us somewhere else. But some of it is just simply fueled by our discontentment in life. Some of it is just because we want something fresh and something new. And we think that when we do it, we'll be satisfied. And then when we find the right living situation, we finally have that house on 10 acres. Guess what? Discontentment is still present. Chase after your dream, man, ladies. You'll never be discontent. Yes, you will. I'm going to say the same thing about women, too. It's just, listen, we are flawed people. If you're trying to find your contentment in your spouse, you will be highly disappointed. And just know this, your spouse is just as disappointed in you as you are in them, okay? So discontentment. So but let's roll right into that as we're talking about our spouses. Our discontent also shows its ugly head in our country's high divorce rates. Let's talk about that. Hey kids, listen. Dating, don't do it. You want to know why? All kids, you want to know why? Because dating teaches you how to get ready for divorce. Because what happens when you're a teenager and you date and they do something dumb? You break it off. It becomes easy. All of a sudden, I've had 13 girlfriends, and now I'm a senior, and I go off to college. Guess what? My brain has been trained when things get hard. What do? Don't date. Don't hold hands. Don't kiss. Parents, if I'm crossing a line, I'm sorry. You can deal with it when you get home. Don't kiss. Don't hold hands. Let your first kiss be your spouse on your wedding day. Let the first time you hold hands be that day. Don't get yourself in a messy situation that you cannot come back from. And all the parents said amen. Kids, I know that we're dumb adults and we don't know any better. Trust me when I tell you, your life is much simpler if that's the way you approach it. Okay? Joel said that's true, so listen to him. Okay? So, it's hot in here, by the way. We can't find happiness in our marriages, so we trade our spouses in for a different model. Only to find, guess what? The same problems reoccur. The same issues are still present because we are people and it happens. And we look at look in society today, look at the political whatever. We're not going to get political, but look at all the stuff that's out there politically right now. It's seen in our clamoring for our rights. You want to talk about our right for abortion while claiming, I'm sorry, I just said abortion, so I wasn't going to go on that topic. But listen, in this country right now, we are fighting for a woman's right to kill her baby. There is no other way to explain it away than that. But society would tell you that it's a fetus, and that's Latin for, by the way, human baby. We've been victimized, and so if I could just have my rights back, everything will be okay. If I can just get my fair treatment, I think I'll be happy. That's not the case. We are suing one another at an astonishing rate, trying to get more money. Don't you know that's the reason for suing, is to get more money so we can have more things, that we can finally have that life that we want, to be comfortable. We spend money on things that we can't afford. What does that mean? I'm talking about swiping the credit card. We spend money on things that we can't afford, on things that we hope will bring us joy, happiness, and contentment. For all of it, at the end of the day, it is not enough, and it will always let us down. Now, I want to show you this morning what our chase for contentment looks like. I wasn't going to stand up here and huff and puff in a balloon, so I borrowed Caden's. It's awkward, isn't it? Okay. So this is what contentment looks like. We blew up a balloon. It's full of air, almost. It's got a little bit of room left. We are happy. We finally got that thing we were after. Right? We're happy. We're content. Then a couple days go by. We're still somewhat content, right? We're somewhat happy with it. But then all of a sudden, this thing catches our attention. And now we think our contentment's over here, and this thing no longer is where we find our contentment. We forget that that's what we thought. I don't even know where it went. What our contentment was going to be in. But now it's in this. And guess what? Soon, you're all going to remember this sermon for the sheer fact that I blew up two balloons. But here's what the truth of contentment is. Contentment is an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God. And knowing that He controls all that happens to you. He is in control of all things. It means that we focus on His kingdom, on God. We focus on serving Him, not on the pursuit and chase of love, money, things, people. Listen, some of us, let me just say it this way, okay? I'll just read what I wrote instead of going on a rabbit trail because I don't want to be offensive. It is okay to enjoy material comforts if God has given you material comforts. If God has given you a bigger bank account than me, you are okay to enjoy your bigger bank account. Can I get an amen, right? Make sure we understand this. It is okay to enjoy the material comforts if God grants us those material comforts, knowing that it all comes from Him. Not a bit of it came from your effort. I'm sorry, but if you have that opinion, you're wrong. It all comes from God. And so, knowing that it all comes, but we also seek to use that material comfort for His purpose by being generous. So here's what happens. If that's our heart, if we are focused on Him and not on our riches, if He comes and He takes our riches, guess what? Our joy still remains. Because our contentment was not in our things, but rather they were in Him. Are you following me this morning? So contentment also means not being beaten around by difficult circumstances or people and not being wrongly seduced by prosperity, meaning you're chasing after it for money and this, because your life is centered on a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and not on the pursuit of those things. So no matter what happens to you or to others, and no matter what others do to us, we have the steady assurance that the Lord is with us and He will not forsake us. Paul had friends after him. I'm sure Paul felt like he was stabbed in the back a few times. Guess what? In life, you have friends after you. They're not actually your friends. They just act like it. Okay? Paul felt like he was stabbed in the back. We might find ourselves feeling like we are stabbed in the back. But we have the assurance that the Lord is for us and He will not forsake us. No matter what life brings, He will not forsake us. Now, there's a power behind contentment. And people often misuse this verse that we're about to share here because it's not about achieving personal goals, which all of us have, and we've probably heard it that way. But it doesn't make it wrong to use it that way, but it does miss the mark and it takes the verse out of context. And so as we turn there, it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The power behind contentment is found in Paul's words in verse 13, and it's this: I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Guess what that doesn't mean? It doesn't mean that I can stop a train on the tracks. It doesn't mean that I can go out and jump over the rock center because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? That's not how it works. I can't go run faster than the Flash because that's not how it works. The point of this phrase is that true contentment isn't self-reliance, but rather it's Christ-reliance. It's reliance on Christ Jesus. It's about enduring life's up and down. Did anybody have an up and down week? As we endure ups and downs, it is about the strength that Christ provides us. So think of it this way. It's the engine that keeps us going, but that engine is not our willpower, but rather it's Christ's strength found within us that gives us the power to keep going. So the big question we all have to ask this morning, we have to answer, quite frankly, is how can we apply this? How do we find contentment in everyday life? Mike, you don't know what I'm going through. Mike, you don't know this. You don't understand that. Listen, you're right. I don't, because I have my own second set of circumstances that I go through. But here's what I know. Focus on Christ. Let Christ be what you focus on. He provides all things. And so as we ask this question today, how do we apply this? Now, whether you actually did ask or you didn't ask, I have some practical steps that for all of us to follow. Now, you can choose to do what you want with them, but this is how we can move towards finding contentment in everyday life, no matter the circumstance that we face. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Trust God's provision in your life. Trust God's provision in your life. To find contentment, it's important to trust and to submit to God's sovereignty in every circumstance, big or small. That means we recognize the Lord Jesus as the ruler and the Savior of our life in every situation, from the time we wake up to the time we put on our shoes, to the time we walk into work, to the time we clock out of work, to the time we get home and have supper, to the time we lay our head on our pillow. Everything we face is under the sovereignty of God. Trust God's provision in your life. Here's the second one. Shift your focus. This can be a tough one. See, if we focus on Christ and His kingdom instead of our situations, instead of more money, instead of that job promotion, instead of the bigger house, instead of a different wife or a different husband or different kids, right? We can be content with what He provides, knowing that our hearts are secure in Him rather than in the uncertainty of the world. I'd rather know that my heart is solid in Him than not understanding anything that's going on in life. So shift your focus back to Christ or on Christ instead of on your situation. Listen, He already knows everything you need. And if you care about the plans that He has for your life, I would submit to you that you care about what He has planned for your life, not your plans for your life. So turn your focus, shift your focus rather, to Christ. Focus on Christ. The third one is this. Practice gratitude. Contentment comes from thanking God for what you have rather than focusing on what you lack. I don't have $1 million. Probably never will. And that's okay. Because guess what? The money doesn't come with you when you get buried, does it? We were making a joke. I'm sorry, I got to share this. So we were at my grandpa's 89th birthday party here a couple weeks ago, and we just sold I had no part in the transaction. Grandpa sold some farmland, about 140 acres worth. And for the farmers in here, you know that that's quite a chunk of change. Grandma is scolding him at Pizza Ranch for not spending a penny to make anything better around the farm, because he'd rather just have it all in the bank account. She says, he just wants to take it with him. So then we started joking, because that's what my family does. We suggested, well, just write a check out to Howard for the amount that's in the bank and put it in his coffin when we bury him. He can feel like he's taking his money with him. Here's the good news. It's never going to be cash, Grandma, and you can do what you want, right? There's a false sense of security in that, right? And so focus on what you have. I have health. I have a family. I have a roof over my head. I have a vehicle. I have a church family that cares. Listen, we have so much that we can be thankful for. And how often do we actually take the time to be thankful for those items? Or do we just take it for granted every day because it's just the norm? It's what's expected. We're supposed to have this. So why would I thank God for that? Thank God that you don't live in a third world country, but rather you live in the United States. Your life would be a lot different. So if we apply these three things, we will find ourselves doing what? Enjoying contentment. We will find ourselves content if we put these three things into practice. So let me ask you this morning, where do you struggle with contentment? Where do you struggle? Where do you focus on your job? Is it in your job that you look for contentment? Is it in your finances that you look for contentment? Is it in your relationships? Or is it something else? Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's that college degree. Maybe it's getting a scholarship for college. Maybe it's just getting down the stairs without tripping and falling. Listen, I don't know. Where do you struggle with contentment? Stacy, if you want to come on up. Contentment isn't about having more. Rather, it's about trusting Christ with what you have. So if we go back to Paul's letter, Paul's in jail. He has nothing. He's been thirsty. He's been hungry. He's been tired. All of this. It is not about having more. It's about trusting Christ with what you have. It's about trusting Christ with where you're at in your current circumstance, under your certain situation. So here's what we do. We give it to God. We give it to God. And soon, very soon, you'll be saying, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Because Christ is enough, true contentment is only found in Christ Jesus. And when He is enough, when you get to that spot in your life and you truly understand that Christ is all that I need, all of it can vanish today, all of it is going to burn up, and the only thing that is left is my faith in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's the only thing that matters. I would submit to you that that's the only thing that's worthy of pursuit. So when you get there, when you get to that point, when He's finally enough for you, everything else just falls into place. Because it's contentment with where we are and where Christ has us. When Christ becomes our contentment, we are free from everything that the world would want us to be distracted by. When our contentment is found in Him and not in our microwave, when our contentment is found in Him and not our pair of shoes, our car, our bank account, the size of whatever, I don't care. When it is found in Him, we are free from everything else. Do you need some freedom this morning? So, church, engaging our community for Jesus, it requires us to be content. It requires us to be content in whatever season the Lord has us in life. If you look around this room, there's all kinds of different seasons. There's all kinds of different backgrounds. There's all kinds of different things happening in everybody's life. It is your job to be content in that situation because you've fully placed your trust in Christ Jesus as your provider of all things. When we do this, it reveals to others that our hope and our trust solely lie in Christ Jesus. Not the stock market, not this, not that, not buying this house. My trust and my faith and my hope is in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me today, please? To experience real contentment, if you would, just close your eyes, bow your heads. I just want you to listen to my words and not to your neighbor fidgeting with their hands and this and that. Just, I want you to hear me this morning. To experience real contentment, one must first understand that they have a need for Jesus. See, before we can experience true contentment, we need a relationship with Jesus. True contentment comes from knowing your sins have been forgiven and that you have the promise and the hope of eternal life with Christ Jesus. It is only through belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior that you can receive that contentment this morning, that you can receive that freedom, that you can receive that forgiveness of your sins. And it's when we do this, we know that our eternity is secure. We know that Jesus is with us in life. We know that our sins have been wiped away as far as the east is from the west. So whether this is in a new way, you've never asked Jesus to be in your life, you've never asked Him to come in and forgive you of your sins, or maybe you've done it before and you've walked away, so this isn't a step of a fresh way in your relationship with Jesus. If you desire this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you desire to give your life to Christ this morning, would you please raise your hand where you're at? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Church, we're gonna say a prayer together. And I want you to know, for those of you who raised your hand, it is not the words that matter. It is the position and the condition of your heart. So as we pray this morning, it's about the condition of your heart. So this morning you are giving Christ Jesus your heart, and you are asking Him to come in and to make you new. Would you pray with me, church? Dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I accept that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I believe that You died and rose so that I might be in relationship with You. Forgive me of all of my sins. I commit myself from this day forward. I invite You in my life as Lord and Savior. Help me to become who You desire for me to become. In Jesus' name, amen. Two individuals this morning, church, raised their hands and gave their life to the Lord. And there's no greater party going on in heaven right now than the angels celebrating your decision today. Now, as we close today, church, this is a question for all of us. Do you have discontentment in your life? If we are all being honest, every single day we have something that we're discontent about, right? If we're really honest, do you have discontentment in your life? Do you have things that you're chasing after, or things that you're focusing on that you know won't bring the contentment, the happiness, or joy that you're really looking for? It's times like these that we need to make sure that we are right with God, to make sure and to be positive that we know that God is in control of all things in our life, not the things that we chase after, not the things that we put our hands to work. No matter what we face, no matter what we walk through, God provides all that we need, and we can fully trust and serve Him. So today requires an inward reflection, and we need to ask and we need to answer honestly to ourselves this morning, am I content in life? Am I content in this season that the Lord has me in? Remember that true contentment allows us to say, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So maybe this morning you need a dose of that strength. Maybe there's something in your life that you can't do on your own and you need His strength this morning. Church, I am a firm believer in the altars. I'm never not going to open the altars for people to come to in response to a message, in response to what God is speaking to your heart this morning. You have an opportunity today to come to the altars, to seek Jesus, to worship Him, and take whatever that is that you are finding discontentment in, or you're chasing after contentment. Bring it to Him this morning. Give it to Him and allow Him to become everything you need and want in life. Amen.
Restore in me the joy of my salvation. Take me back to where it all began, where all I ever wanted was Your presence. How I long to be there once again. Light a fire that the world can't burn out, fan the flame.
Father, Lord, I pray that that is where each of us are at. Lord, that we find our contentment in you. We find our trust and our hope in you. Lord, I pray that there is no distraction of the things of the world in our lives, but Lord, we are solely focused on you. Father, I pray that you would empower this people today as they go out. Lord, first and foremost, I pray a blessing upon them for being in this church this morning, for being in this house to worship you this morning. Would you bless them? And Lord, would you make a path before them as they go out, Lord, and create opportunity for them to show that contentment that they have to others, to give hope to others, Lord. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And Lord, I pray that we are willing to do that work. And Lord, let us start with that first step of work is making sure that we are content in our life in you. Father, would you help all of us as we make that journey to you and that true contentment? Lord, help us to not get distracted by all of the flashy things that there are. But Lord, when it is all said and done, when everything is gone and wasted away, what stands is our faith in you, is our hope and the promise of eternity with you in heaven. And Lord, I pray that our hearts right now are burdened to bring as many people with to that moment as we possibly can. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for this word today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.